Thanks, Josh. Thanks, PC. The worship CD is out. Come on by. Well done. Hey, one other notice. We want your feedback right now. We have a survey on our website, also on our Campus Ministries Facebook page, and we really want you to take 10 minutes to fill this out. We want to get some feedback from you about how we could be better servants to you and to this community. So take a couple minutes and fill that out, if you would please. Let's shift gears here real quickly. Let's pray. Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. Speak to us through your word. In the name of Christ, everyone said, amen. The word of the Lord this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 35. Hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus wept. This is the word of the Lord. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, if you didn't know that. Jesus wept. Our speaker this morning is somebody I am very honored and eager to introduce to you. He is an internationally acclaimed artist, visual artist, as well as writer. He is a husband, a father, and even in a short couple days has become a good, good friend. He's here on campus for our World Christian Lecture that will be held at 4 o'clock in Winans Hall. I encourage all of you to come out if possible. Mako Fujimara is many things, but above all, he is somebody who believes in the beauty of God, and as we just sung, helps us see. Would you please give a warm Hope College welcome to Mako?
It's nothing like having a baseball former pitcher as your, he throws things at you. It's amazing what happens in this chapel. If you can get that image up for me, is that possible? Okay, thank you. Jesus wept. And I've been thinking about this passage in John 11, really for, it seems, for the last 5 years, five Lenten seasons. I would go to John 11 and hear again, this passage of what's happening before he goes to Jerusalem in this little town of Bethany. Two sisters, a brother that they love, Lazarus, Martha and Mary. It is an amazing story, and I was even reading it this morning. I keep discovering new things, so I may be thinking about this passage for some time longer. I just completed this historic project of illuminating the four Holy Gospels, and I spent the last 2.5 years doing that, and then touring with the works, the originals, and ended up in Japan last Christmas with a whole bunch of choir students. And the basic premise of this project was to illumine the four Holy Gospels. But for me, as an artist, my task was to bring out this one sliver, taking baby steps, really. In a culture and in this history, we don't have a visual language. We do not have visual theology. So I am just taking these small steps to figure out how to do this. And these images, this is the frontispiece on the cover of the Four Holy Gospels project. And it is called Charis Kairos, the Tears of Christ. So I was so overwhelmed with this project, and I'll talk some more about it this afternoon, but that I chose the shortest verse in the whole Bible to focus on. But as I did, this whole new world opened up to me. I had no idea that 311 will happen, that towns and villages will be washed away in northern Japan. And yesterday was the anniversary. And I kept on thinking about what happened in Bethany when the sisters found out that their beloved brother is sick and dying. They expected Jesus to come and bring healing. This miracle worker, their friend. But Jesus tells the disciples, I'm not going, at least not yet. I'm going to delay my coming so you may see the glory of God. And so the sisters are quite confused. And the younger sister, Mary, as you know, is the contemplative one, the artist. She's the intuitive one. And I can imagine in John 11, when by the time Jesus comes to Bethany and comes and explains to Martha, the analytical one, the CEO of the family, that I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? And Martha says, yes. Processing this still. But by the time he comes to Mary, Mary is quite upset. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you return so that my brother could survive his death? And I suppose he could have said to Mary the same thing that he said to Martha, but he doesn't. The incarnate Word of God stood wordless in Bethany. He stood silent and he wept. Why? Why does he weep? I mean, didn't he just say that he was coming to Bethany to raise Lazarus, to cause this amazing miracle? He has the power to do so. So why didn't he just go to the grave and just wipe his magic wand and Lazarus will come out from the tomb, everybody will rejoice, and he could go, he could tell Mary, you should have believed in me. Don't you have faith? Right? If God came to me today and gave me the power to go back to 9/11, go back to 3/11, and in an instantaneous time that I had the power to reverse all the curse, to stop that from happening, wouldn't I just use that power? But for a moment, Jesus does not. He weeps instead. It's completely useless. There is a completely useless moment in the Gospel of John. In that block of time, there's this void. It's like a black hole. Between that passage in verse 35 and between what happens, there is this eternal time present. And I believe in that time, there is this key to unlocking what makes us truly human, why the arts are important, why we must dance, and why we must weep. The arts are ephemeral, like the tears. But what the dancers did today can never be replicated. Sure, they can dance the same choreographed dance, but it's not the same. That moment is gone. And when I was painting these images, I kept on reminding myself that since my works are water-based, that I'm actually painting with tears of Christ into the ground zero conditions of our lives. You may not live in New York City or in northern Japan, but you have ground zero realities before you. That's almost guaranteed. It may not have to do with some public event, but it may be something you're dealing with right now. Your ground zero moments. You're standing on the ashes. And when you have no words, no explanation, no answers, John 11, verse 35 is there. Jesus is there. He weeps with you and for you. He weeps with those who are still suffering in northern Japan. Did you know that 20,000 people lost their lives on that day? But 200,000 people are still homeless? Did you know that since 3/11 in Japan, over 50,000 people committed suicide? So we lost more lives with suicide than we lost on that day. Despair, hopelessness, is a heavy burden. And for those who are suffering, who are caught in between the gap between life and death, they have no answer. That's where Jesus stands and weeps for us. So the arts provide this way of returning and responding to those tears. In the ancient times, the tears were a precious commodity. They had bottles that they could keep tears in. So today, as you go out and as you deal with your grounds, your conditions, this is my exhortation. Go stand. Stand and look up. Look up and create and love. Because that's what Mary does after this event. She responds with her extravagant offering of grace back to Jesus to break the nard of perfume open to anoint Jesus so that he can be ready for his suffering, his cross, his ground zero experience. Let me pray. Father, your presence is palpable in this room. The Holy Spirit, your operation is indeed in the margins of where we live and where we work. And as we deal with our conditions of brokenness, Jesus, thank you for weeping for us. Thank you that those tears are still present in our midst, in the rain, in the air that we breathe. Help us to take that in, to be energized by your presence, and help us to go into the world, to love the world, and to create in love. In Jesus' name, amen.